Chapter 1. The ambulance is still miles away when Dana awakens to the near dark of evening. It wails ribbon thin in the smog over the highway as she opens her eyes where she lies sprawled on her couch in a suburb of Paterson, a stone's throw from Manhattan, but a different world entirely. She wakes to a headache throbbing at the backs of her lids, a library book lying beside her. She sits up and reaches for the book, marking her place with a tiny corner fold, giving it a little pat as she sets it on the coffee table. Lately, she can read a novel in 2 hours. She has always been an avid reader, but these days she can read much faster. The colors, the conversations, everything is much more vibrant and inclusive, as if opening a book releases genies trapped inside. The scenes and people between their covers sometimes seem more vivid than real life, with their sunny, pearl-toothed characters, the witty conversation, the handsome stranger squeezed into a subway car or knocking about on the street. Sometimes, when she finishes a book at record speed, Dana feels a slight letdown, as if a good friend has hung up the phone in the middle of a conversation. Sometimes, her house seems quiet as a tomb with Jamie gone. She'd hoped her son would choose a school in New York, but instead he's chosen Boston College. He's packed his things and gone away, and although Boston isn't all that far, it seems to Dana that he's journeyed to the edges of the earth. "He could have gone to Idaho," her husband says when she complains to him, so she no longer does. Instead, she bites her tongue, paints walls, and rearranges furniture. She reads books and lies awake at night, and understands she wasn't ready to be alone with Peter in a house without their son. When she allowed herself to think of it at all in the months before Jamie left, she told herself they'd be like couples on TV, empty nesters walking hand in hand across exotic beaches, cooking gourmet meals, and falling into bed. She sighs. Peter comes home late most nights and often doesn't even eat, let alone cook gourmet meals. She struggles off the couch, crossing the room in tentative steps as the ambulance careens toward her neighborhood, its siren now a whisper in the heavy summer air of Ashby Lane. The afternoon comes back to her in tiny waves. Her argument with Celia down the street, the way they both had far too much to drink. A faint memory of stumbling home to fall across her sofa in a deep sangria-induced sleep. If Celia's not an alcoholic now, she soon will be. Lately, she always has a glass in her hand, sloshing liquid here and there as she teeters on her high-heeled wedges. Dana rubs her temples and thinks she might point out the benefits of AA the next time she and Celia get together. The two of them could go to a meeting in Manhattan, nearby but more anonymous than the ones in Paterson. She'll offer. She won't push, though. They aren't close enough for that. Her head throbs, and she remembers her aspirin is in the purse she left in her car when she ran down to Celia's house at breakneck speed. The front door is still ajar, and she pushes through the screen, grabs her purse from the front seat, and rummages through it for the bottle. Outside, the ambulance is audible. Its siren pierces the hum of traffic on the highway, and Dana glances up the street again, squinting in the thin light of a foggy evening. Something isn't right. She feels it, this offness of things, and seconds later, the siren's wail is deafening. Standing by her car, she swallows the aspirin dry, watching as an ambulance rounds the corner and grinds to a halt in front of Celia's house. Three paramedics run toward the front door, where Celia's husband leans against the screen. Ronald. She can just make out the glare of light bouncing off his glasses as he throws the screen door wide. She doesn't stop to think. She hurries down the street, past the three houses between hers and Celia's, walking quickly on the hot concrete. By the time she gets to their yard, she's running, and her sandals slip in a wet spot, a puddle, as she turns into the driveway. She falls against Ronald's car, throws her hands out hard against the hood to catch herself. She rushes up the steps to the Steinhausers and nearly collides with Ronald in the doorway. He looks at her, but he doesn't speak. He folds his arms over his chest as Dana slips across the threshold, where paramedics kneel on the new wood of Celia's recently renovated living room. Their heads are bowed as if they're praying, as if they're studying the grain of the bamboo floor, and Dana is aware of a pungent odor in the air, a smell she recognizes.
God, she says, what?
And then she sees Celia.